Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, there's nothing like a reality check, from book learning to real on-the-street learning, when you get a chance to see the application of it. So it's a pleasure to have Martha Ostheimer with us today from the University of Arizona. How are you this morning, Martha?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
My real pleasure. We're going to talk about teachers in industry. So let me introduce Martha. She's the Assistant Director of Workforce Development at the U of A's Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, or STEM, Learning Center, and she's also the Director of Business Development for the U of A College of Education's Teacher in Industry Program, which is our topic today. Martha's background includes 20 years of experience teaching technical communications and directing capstone design programs for the U of A College of Engineering. In all of her roles, she's worked with business, governmental agencies, and community organizations across Arizona to develop and sustain collaborative and reciprocal partnerships with the university. So reciprocal meaning give and take, trade and swap. So tell us about teachers in industry.
Well, teachers in industry actually started 5 years ago in Tucson, and it started as a conversation between Raytheon and the College of Education at the U of A, Science Foundation Arizona, as well as Tucson Values Teachers. And the concern at that point was, what's being done to address the fact that there isn't a sufficient supply of STEM graduates coming down the pathway?
Right.
And so what they did was they started thinking about, why is this a problem? I mean, it's a national problem. It's an international problem right now. But they started looking at, okay, are we graduating a sufficient number of STEM teachers in the state of Arizona? And the first thing that they discovered was that annually there are 450 fewer math teachers graduated from the three state universities than are necessary to meet the requirements of the open positions. So you've got 450 classes, math classes, that are being taught by teachers who are teaching out of field. And then in addition to that, there's 250 fewer physical science teachers being graduated annually than are needed to meet the openings in Arizona. And what that means is you've got about 700 teachers who are teaching math and science classes that don't have a four-year undergraduate degree in the content area they're teaching.
Right, which again, in an ever-competitive world and chase that's so foundationally based on technology, that continues to feed a potential discrepancy in our ability to prepare our graduates for the future.
Right, and what you're raising is the second point that they found, was that in addition to the supply problem, there's also a problem because the majority of STEM teachers do not have any industry experience. And therefore, they don't understand the relevance or the application of the content that they're teaching in their classes.
Well, and I think there's another piece of it. Obviously, you can look to any of us in our own chosen career fields. If you ask the question, so how'd you get here? Invariably, you hear one of two things. They were influenced by a family member, or my favorite teacher suggested. Mm-hmm. Or my sibling was already on that track, perhaps, or someone influential in their lives. So the pivotal role of those teachers, the eyeball-to-eyeball touch and inspiration for our youth, is critical. And if they can't speak the language or see the vision or see the possibility of what's coming next, then how can they possibly distill the book learning in a way that really engages and or motivates our youth to say, you know, I now see why I'm studying algebra now. And that it could apply to industry.
Exactly.
Rather
than the teacher just saying in response to the question, how will I ever use this, that you'll use it on the test,
right,
which isn't very inspirational for students. So the third part of the problem is, so you've got the supply problem. You've got the fact that the teachers don't necessarily understand the context or the application of what they're teaching as it's going to be experienced in industry. But the third problem is retention. In the state of Arizona, on average, after 5 years of a new teacher starting in a STEM classroom, 50% of those teachers will have left the teaching profession.
Wow. Profession.
So what you also have then is you have classes that are being taught by inexperienced teachers. So that those were sort of the three conversations that started the idea of what can we do to address these issues. And so working together, these organizations developed the Teachers in Industry program, which is a really innovative and highly successful business educational partnership. And it places teachers, while they're pursuing either a master's degree or professional development credits, it places them during three consecutive summers in industry. And so for 7 to 9 weeks, depending on the teacher's calendar, they'll work 4 days a week in a STEM industry doing a STEM project that's of value to the company. And they'll also be exposed to 21st century skills. And so what that does is it allows them on Fridays to meet as a cohort. We have a cohort in Chandler and a cohort in Tucson. And we also tie in remote teachers through technology from remote locations. And they talk about the experience. What are they doing? What's the STEM project that they're working on?
And how can they learn from one another in the process?
How can they learn from one another? And how can they take it back and make it an actionable plan for how they're going to change the way they teach their classes?
And I would imagine that these company-sponsored projects, that many of the companies probably are caught off guard and surprised by what great value the teachers offer as well. This isn't just one-way philanthropy, because bringing in our young, you know, professionals, or those who are also seasoned in the teaching profession, that they can come in and ask very simple questions that can get those engineers or scientists rethinking something they might have assumed.
It's interesting. The companies are always impressed with the quality of the teachers. I mean, these are experienced professionals. Oftentimes, these teachers have 3 to 10 years of teaching experience. Many of these teachers, it's a second career or possibly a third career, so they may have a background in IT or business. And so there's a real benefit for the companies. The return on investment varies from company to company. I mean, Texas Instruments always tells me that finally the community understands that they make other products than calculators. And that word of mouth campaign is incredibly beneficial to them. Some companies, when I've asked them what they think the return on investment is, have told me that it educates them about the challenges that teachers face in the classroom so they can better advocate for legislation to affect and impact education.
Well, and for those companies that really are wise to the future challenges we face here in the state, I think in some ways it might be a frightening wake-up call to realize this is just one of multitude of things we need to do to invest for the future wherewithal of our workforce here in this state.
And that's why we used to call it an internship program, but that was kind of working against us, because then the teachers were being compared to undergraduate interns, which is a very different kind of animal. And so we've kept ourselves away from using the term internship, especially as we rebranded the program in the last year. And instead we talk about it's a professional work experience, and that these are professional teachers who come into the workplace to figure out what goes on in the workplace and then take it back into the classroom. So it's all about workforce development.
Yeah, exactly, as well as their own personal development, because of that dynamic of working 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, whatever it is, but also helping translate that. And then to know these teachers so many times are pulled upon to mentor and give the younger people a sense of what's it going to be like on the other side, to give some real-world salience to that.
Well, the teachers say it gives them street cred.
Right.
That I was at Raytheon this summer, and I was working on a missile project that's actually going to be launched, and suddenly the students look at them differently. So that's another advantage of the program as well.
So the program's been in existence, you said, 5 years?
5 years in Tucson, and then the last 3 years, we also added the Chandler. Downtown U of A opened a learning center in downtown Chandler, and so now we've broken into Maricopa County, and so we're recruiting teachers and companies up there as well.
Yeah, and so what's the funding mechanism to support your program?
Great, wonderful question. So Science Foundation Arizona, in the first 4 years of the program, provided a very generous grant to the program, which supported the administrative costs of starting the program, and also covered 75% of the teacher's tuition for the first 4 years of operation. And that's a huge carrot for a teacher. I mean, to have that level of tuition reimbursement, and also then to have the industry-paid wages during the summer. Now we are funded by Freeport-McMoRan as part of the $100K in 10 grant, which is the Obama administration's initiative to create 100,000 more STEM teachers within the next 10 years. And so that's currently who's supporting our initiative.
That's wonderful. How could, I suspect, of course, you're only going to be as good as high-quality opportunities you have in companies. So how is it that you come about finding sufficient to match the teacher's interests?
Well, we're always struggling because if a teacher is enrolled in the master's program, they're in an industry position for 3 consecutive summers. So, for instance, if Raytheon takes 13 teachers, which they do a summer, those 13 positions are filled for 3 consecutive summers. So we're constantly trying to network and develop relationships with additional companies and also sustain our company partners.
It seemed to me we have a great sponsor for our radio show here is the Arizona Technology Council, which, of course, has a variety of companies. That's one thing I love doing this show. Of course, I know exactly who I'm going to introduce you to after the show.
If Wonderful.
You don't know Alex Rodriguez already from the Arizona Technology Council, because these are all startup, not all, but a significant number of companies that are in different levels of stage development and different sizes that actually, for the right teacher, you can learn a tremendous amount being in a smaller organization than necessarily a bigger department within a bigger company.
That's a wonderful point. Actually, Alex and I work very closely together. We recently put on, it's called the Made in Arizona Manufacturing Block Party. And we did that because there was an identified need to actually focus the spotlight on manufacturing. And so now I actually have developed relationships with a number of the Southern Arizona manufacturing partners. And as you say, those are smaller companies, but the teachers that work in the smaller companies have a completely different experience. I mean, they're exposed to how does a startup work? You know, what's the importance of inventory?
Sure.
And so it's a great experience. And these companies are now saying that they want to be involved in the program because they see the benefit of it.
Well, I think also for our youth, to understand, you know, I can tell you the countless young ladies that I've counseled, young ladies and men, about pursuing engineering, that engineering isn't just working on a design in a tube, on a tube or in a test lab, that actually learning about logistics and learning about the interface with manufacturing or industrial engineering is every bit a part of that STEM connectivity. So that's a great, it broadens our view of what a career in science, technology, engineering, math is all about.
And that's part of the bandwidth of the teachers going back into the classroom. I mean, each teacher each year will be impacting 150 students. And so what they're doing is basically it's a word-of-mouth campaign about what is STEM, what are the STEM companies that are located in your community, what are the educational and skills pathways to obtain those careers that are high-wage-paying careers, and turn students onto STEM and have them become more engaged and also more prepared to actually succeed in one of those careers.
Well, and particularly for those that also would couple that with a desire to teach, that you're actually creating teachers that can be more relevant to encouraging future teachers to pursue specifically those big gaps you mentioned here in the state of Arizona, specifically of math and science, which I suspect is not unlike other parts of the country.
That's no, it's
not. A national phenomenon. It isn't just restricted to our state. Martha, I mentioned in the introduction of your additional work, you've been involved in the whole communications area. How was it you came upon the opportunity to become the associate director for this program?
Well, because of my background working in the College of Engineering, for 20 years I was directing their capstone design programs. And so those require industry sponsors. So I was working with companies across the state, across the country for 20 years. And when I heard about the rumor that there was going to be a startup of a STEM learning center at the U of A, I thought that immediately it would be important for businesses to have a leadership role in the STEM learning center. And I actually proposed that I be a part of that organization in the startup phases.
Nothing like seizing an opportunity. That's great. The other one I would just add, too, for the discourse for those of us in our industry like myself, is that STEM really wants to add another letter in that, and that's the letter A for the arts. So to turn that word into STEAM. So do you foresee perhaps STEM focus expanding there at the U of A, or your teachers in industry program knowing, for example, when they get into a company environment that's doing a new product design, to having the artistic, creative, off-the-wall folks also engaged at the same time?
Well, I think that STEM is really everywhere. I mean, it's not just in an engineering or technology company. It's in any business. I mean, it's in a financial organization. It's in a graphic design company. Mm-hmm. So I think that I know that there is a national debate about whether to include A in STEM. And I think that's a very good conversation that people are having. I think right now the U of A STEM Learning Center wants to keep their focus on science, technology, engineering, and math.
That's right. Well, we know we had the Tucson Festival of Books here recently. Of course, there was a huge presence of STEM out there on the mall. And to see the engagement of the young kids, the challenge I think we often encounter, though, is we start losing the grip on the kids around middle school to high school. Mm-hmm. And what's going to keep them glued in there are the teachers.
Exactly. I mean, in the state of Arizona, we have a graduation rate that's only 70% from high school. So 30% of the students that start their freshman year will not graduate from high school. And recently they were surveyed and asked why, what would have kept them in the classroom. And 80% of them said, if I'd ever understood the relevance mm-hmm. of what I was learning, I would have stayed in the classroom. And so what's great about these STEM teachers from the Teachers in Industry program is they really can explain the relevance of what they're teaching to the students and get them engaged and also, you know, advise them in terms of what you need to do to be successful to get into a STEM career in terms of the education and the skills you'll need.
So for our listeners that may be thinking about, let's say, an encore career and getting involved in teaching later in their career, whether that be 10 years or 30 years after whatever else they've been involved in, is there a way in which they can join a U of A-based program and target the Teachers in Industry program at the same time? I mean, how do the students actually, is there a selection process for them to be included in your program?
Okay, so the students who are in the graduate program or pursuing professional development credits are STEM teachers, usually early to mid-career teachers, so 3 to 10 years. And those would be the high-risk teachers. Mm-hmm. They're performing well, they're hitting their stride, and that's not when you want to lose them, when they're 5 years into their profession. And these are teachers who want to make the commitment to do the master's degree and or have professional development credit. So what we're doing is constantly recruiting teachers from across the state, working with superintendents, principals, the charter school system to get the word out.
And how many teachers are involved at the program at one time, your class or your cohort group?
Right now, we're struggling to meet our requirements for business placements in Tucson. So we're still looking for additional placements because we have to secure an industry placement for a teacher before we can actually enroll them in the program. We have kind of the opposite situation in Chandler. We are still recruiting teachers. We have more industry placements in Maricopa than we have teachers. So it's always a balancing act. And so we're always mindful of that.
Yeah, really important.
One thing, though, to just point out, I know I said earlier that the retention rate after 5 years should have been 50%. What we've seen in the 5 years of the program is that the actual retention of the teachers and industry teachers is 96%.
Right.
So a significant impact.
And that is probably the single best metric to watch, mm-hmm. is where they stay committed to their profession. They're fulfilled by it. They feel better equipped, and probably they're getting the kind of results that would want them to stay in the teaching profession as
exactly.
well. Is there a program like this at any other institutions around the country?
It's the only program that has a master's degree attached to it that also has the work experience component for the teacher. There are other internships, but none with a master's program.
I can tell you how many people I'm sure that are tuning in, that they step back and realize that they did industry-relevant internships while they were either pursuing their undergraduate or their master's degrees. And many times it's to tell us what we don't want to do as much as what we do want to do. But that's all something that's really important to vet out, but also equipping us with the ability to be much more mindful of how we talk about a profession and why did we choose it.
Mm-hmm.
And for the teachers and industry, as you mentioned, this is about learning firsthand what are the 21st century skills that they need as teachers, as well as how can they be part of the conversation to help it get to our young people.
Exactly. And it's amazing when I've had the opportunity to go into the classroom of these teachers, and what they talk about is what they've done in terms of their curriculum practices. And now everything's being done in teams because right. that's what they observed in industry. They're including communication skills in math classes. So it's very impactful in terms of what they're changing in there.
Yeah, in fact, my daughter in the school she attends here in Tucson, in as part of her pre-calculus class, every 3 weeks they have a math-related problem that's really not about the math. It's about writing it up. So they have a 3-page paper to write about math. So, again, the whole aspect of communicating in the context of the given field is important.
And using writing as a form of reflection, which I think is a really important message to be sending out as well.
Yeah, but those kind of skills, that's not, as opposed to saying, well, you're learning it because you have to take the test on it. You know, that's a big challenge.
Right.
So, Martha, how can our listeners help you at this point in time? Obviously, for those leaders that are tuning in, if you're interested in joining the conversation, perhaps offering an internship, how could they get a hold of you and where could they learn out more information?
They can contact me at 621-5352 or at osteime, osteime, at email.arizona.edu.
That's great.
And we look forward to hearing from you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll continue to track this truly end-to-end workforce development queue for our country and
thank
for
you.
Our state.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.